Daniel Ormsby was born in Otorohanga. He's from Maniapoto and Ngāti Uekaha, Ngāti Kapotuhi. But he works in Waitomo doing whakaero rākau, painting tamoko sculpture and teaching. The first Gas Morco Bone Carving Symposium took place over the weekend. The symposium has grown from 12 participants the first year, which was back in 2017, to 63 this year, with carvers from all over the country and also from Australia attending. Toi Māori artist Daniel Ormsby was a long-time contributor to the Morco Bone Carving Symposium. He's kindly with us for a kōrero today. Te whanau, tēnā koe, Daniel, ko Dale tēnei.
Tēnā koe, Dale.
Tēnā koe. Daniel, love your work, mate. I'm just looking at some of it on the web. Beautiful. But talk with us about the Morco Bone Carving Symposium. Sounds like it's really gathering some legs across time. What did you make of this year as against when it first got underway? What's that, 7 years back in 2017?
Yeah, well, it was another good year. I was in and out this year, but happy faces, so it was a success.
Bone carving, obviously a lot of our Toi Māori are very good in using various media. What about bone carving? Was it the major focus here? And tell me about those that were there, some new faces for you, Dan?
New faces. There's a lot of new beginners. The guest artists keep coming back. Every year there's a special guest artist, and they come once and then just keep coming. So, and as for the bone carving, yeah, that was the main focus. And then one of Mike Brown's major motivations was to bring mana back to bone carving. With all the overseas bone carvings being brought into the country and sold off cheap and in bulk, there's kind of a bit of a loss of mana there. So that's been one of his main ambitions.
Let's just talk that out a little bit more. I mean, a lot of the bone that we'll see in souvenir shops, even some Māori art shops, I guess, coming in from offshore, are they being manufactured in bulk or are they being machine-made? I don't really understand who are contributing to well, let's just take bone carving, for instance, with Māori whakaaro in it. A lot of it imported.
Well, in some places, yes. But I don't know too much about that myself either. I just try and stay in my own lane, which is handmade quality products. And well, that's what we're about, and making products of Māori in it. And that's a big part of the kōrero at the symposium is investigating those things. What is Māori? What are states of being while you make it? Putting heart into stuff, putting love in and quality, and the difference in quality. Well, I think we don't try and concentrate on what others are doing, but more look at what we're doing. Yeah, so that's probably my reply there.
Tēnā koe, and I like it. I like what you're saying there. Well, what are some of the elements? I mean, you're a proud Māori guy, so, you know, you put your energies into the work because you love what you're doing and know that ultimately that piece is going to somebody who wants to also feel its strength. So the Māori is somewhat implied when you work on a piece, don't you think? Is what were some of the findings? What were some of the takeaways you got when you started talking about putting Māori back into bone carving?
Well, quality is one, and what are some of the side products of quality? And yes, it's the focus, the attention to detail. If you can recognise that in any piece you're working on or anything you do in your everyday life, I guess it's a reflection on yourself. If you can lift your quality, that means you have to identify that it needs a lift, So if your piece lifts in quality, then you are inside yourself. You're recognizing that something could be sharper or something can be more refined. So the piece is refining you too. So it's a reflection of the human being in that quest for maybe not perfection, but self-improvement. It's a big part of the process, but it's also a big part of the sharing. For those of us that have done it a long time, being able to impart those perceptions onto beginners in a safe way without ramming it down people's throats.
Te rākui, Daniel, thank you. Are you returning to bone carving then? Has it been like it was there at the start and then people went to other media? Obviously, there's Ponamu, but gee, I've seen 3D printers throwing out some things as well of late, never used to exist. So is it a bit of a full circle return to bone carving for you, Daniel?
Yeah, it is for me. I know a lot of other wood carvers, we started off on bone. My journey was making bone in my dad's shed, using all his power tools when I was, well, I might have been primary school. And when you talk with others there, other older carvers, that's a similar experience. And so although I don't get to touch bone much in my career at the moment, I still love it and still respect it for the journey it put me on.
Tēnā koe. You've got a lot of interesting artistic skills. Daniel, what area are you mostly focused on now in your art career?
At the moment, I'm really loving my whakaero, loving Zako, and doing a lot of wānanga. A lot of people are really interested at the moment, so I'm holding wānanga just to let people have the opportunity to touch a chisel and see if it really is for them before they commit themselves to learning. I'm just loving seeing others improve with a chisel or just get that taste of something that I've loved for 20 years plus, but getting to see them, their eyes light up or see that addiction take over them once they've done an hour on a chisel. That's my latest.
Yeah, I've often wondered about it too as a vehicle for mental and emotional health. I'm no artist, but I sort of sense something healing in working with Rako. I wonder how therapeutic that medium can be for some people. Have you seen it work its magic?
Yeah, definitely. I think people don't even realise that it's happening. It's a very subtle process, that healing part. So I run a few exercises. I have one called Busy Hands where try and get a project where you're all your hands are involved and then throw a topic out. And the kōrero is different while your hands are busy. And so a lot of people spill the beans about a lot of things they didn't think they were going to spill. So there's just multiple healing processes that I don't truly understand, but I do recognise that there. So just getting people to... a big achievement is getting someone to have a turn with a chisel or paintbrush, because there's a toi Māori or toi or art in general comes from a place of vulnerability, it seems. So I try and set up a space where people are safe to first have a go and then to experience some of those healing properties or just the fun.
Just for fun too. It's not all serious, and we've seen a lot of the kind of, it's actually quite playful to the subject matter, etc. So these courses or wānanga that you hold, how often do you hold them, and what's the uptake like? How do you roll these ones out, Daniel?
Well, at the moment they're kind of pilot ones. I've always done art days once a month or something, just open invite. But I've just started to structure them more and share a bit of what I learned over my years. So I'll just do some technical lessons, then I might do some kōrero or some history or whakapapa, or and then get everyone to draw them and then let everyone do their own projects. So I've been running that on Fridays, and what I'm hoping is that I curate a bit of a template and others pick that up in their own places.
Tēnā koe. Where are you holding them, Daniel, in Waitomo?
Yeah, in my workshop here, Waitomo. It's all set up and it's nice and easy. And small numbers, it's not a big thing. But so I'm still learning that process there, running these classes. And so I think it's a bit of a taster before someone commits to doing a year-long course or a three-year course. And because that's a big commitment for someone to, and it's a bit of a risk. Some people don't even know if they're good at it, but for most people, there's an inner desire that they packed away when they were younger. They might have got a bit shy, or someone made a negative statement about a drawing, so they've packed away their dream. So I'm just trying to put an opportunity out for people there to revisit that.
Sounds good. What do you call your kaupapa? If anyone's listening and perhaps interested, how might they make contact with you, Daniel?
Well, I kind of just throw it on Facebook every now and then when I'm holding these. And so otherwise, it's still in early stages. We've run about six Fridays concurrently lately. We're going to have a quiet one this Friday, and then we'll kick back into it. But also running in conjunction with Mike Brown, will come up here and hold a mini symposium with the bone carving. So it's part of it is also giving space to others here to use their expertise rather than me trying to be head honcho of every Friday. So it's not just for beginners, but it's also for artists. And it's done in an artist's space, so it's not in the QA, so we're not, there's not a structure there that we have to stick to. I can kind of feel out who's there on the day and what their needs are or where they're at, and I've got that flexibility available to give them kai that suits them.
Well, terrific. The mahi sounds really interesting, and good luck going forward. I forgot to ask, but I'm curious. At the symposium over the weekend, I'm picking there have been many non-Māori artists also working with bone and the like. Were there some discussions around what's deemed tapu and appropriate when it comes to Māori designs and also non-Māori carving them at all? Did this surface at all?
Yeah, that's been a major topic, and it's being addressed more and more. At the earlier wānanga, I was there, but only being 12 people, there wasn't much Māori input. So that's just grown slowly over the years, and at a good pace too. It's not an avalanche of Māori artists. I'd say there's over 50% non-Māori bone carvers, but most of them have an interest or have been inspired by our art forms and bone, such as mato, tiki, heitiki. So it's good to be able to give some kōrero, and not only just to protect our art forms, but to inform and educate and show the depth of our whakaaro, just the way we look at our forms and our culture, to share that through the bone carving. And it's taken, it's really respected. The artists who are sharing are really respected. Got some great artists. We had Gareth McGee was the guest artist this year. And we had Stacey Jordine last year. So really high caliber of artists sharing whakaaro.
Sounds excellent. I'm pleased it went well. And thanks for sharing some kōrero about carving per se, bone, rākau, pōnamu. These are our taonga, and you and those who work in that space are stewards of that taonga, so respect the role you play in our toi Māori field. Thanks for sharing some time with us, Daniel. Lovely to have you share your thoughts on our program.
Well, thank you very much, Dale.
Tēnā koe, brother. Thank you. Daniel Ormsby from Waitomo. And...